The Lord be with you.
And
read from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
This is what he proclaimed. One mightier than I is coming after me. I'm not worthy to stoop and loosen the thongs of his sandals. I have baptized you with water. He'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit. It happened in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized in the Jordan by John. On coming out of the water, he saw the heavens being torn open, and the Spirit, like a dove, descending upon him. And a voice came from the heavens, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. Today, with night prayer, we end what is called the Christmas season with the baptism of the Lord, and tomorrow, or actually tonight, we enter into what is called ordinary time up until February 14th. So February 14th this year, you're not going to celebrate Valentine's Day, Ash Wednesday. So good old Valentine was bumped by Ash Wednesday, okay? Celebrate it maybe day before, okay? Baptism of the Lord, there's so much that can be said. One of the highlights of Carmelite spirituality is what is called the indwelling. The indwelling of God through grace. So, what all of you could do today is spend some time in gratitude for your own baptism. Do all of you know where and when you were baptized? March 25th, 1956, Detroit, Michigan. That was my baptism. So I take that day very seriously. I was baptized on the Annunciation. Great day to be baptized. I was 25 days old. Okay? So I consider that a highlight of my spiritual life. My mom and my dad, my godparents, had me baptized. So it's a good idea to maybe go into your shoebox and get your baptismal certificate, if it's in the shoebox, no? And maybe every year your family can buy an extra cake to celebrate the birthday of your children. Cake and put the candles on. And no trick candles, no? Those trick candles, they never blow out, no? So let's go through the graces that flow from baptism. Starting with a negative. We're all born with original sin. So baptism washes away original sin. So that would be the negative. Let's move from the negative to the positive. With baptism, God just inundates us. It's like a deluge of graces that are received. And sad to say, most Catholics are very flippant, nonchalant, very lackadaisical about baptism, which they place the social part, la fiesta. They put the fiesta, okay? The social part above the sacramental part, which is obviously very, very wrong. Parents will not baptize their children for 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, 8 months, 9 months, a year, because the padrino is in Mexico. So the child is being deprived of extraordinary graces, no? The padrino is never going to make it, no? So just get a proxy. You know what that is? Proxy. Someone to stand in for the padrino who's there in Yucatan, and he doesn't have any documents, and he doesn't have a car, he'd have to travel on a mule. He'll arrive here by the year 2025, no? That's a long time, huh? So never put the social part above the sacramental. Years ago, I remember fighting with a lady on the phone in the old church over this topic. Now, we were talking about baptism. I said, you know, get your child baptized. She said, well, my daughter's not baptized, but she's a daughter of God. I said, she's not a daughter of God. What? Father Broom, you've insulted me. She's not a daughter of God because she's not baptized. And what is she? She's a creature of God. But theologically, I just told her the truth, hung up on me. This is Padre's malo. It's malo, 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 malo. He's mean-spirited, no? Just told him the theological truth. No? It's true. Creature of God, that sounds very ugly, no? But it's true. So until you're baptized, you're not a son of God, you're not a daughter of God, and you're actually under the dominion of the devil. That's why we do a minor exorcism every time we have a baptism. I tell the people when I baptize them, now I'm going to do an exorcism. Think about the film, The Exorcist. It is. It's not a major exorcism, but it's a minor exorcism, pointing out the fact that the devil does exist. Now, before baptism, that child does not have a relationship with the Trinity. There's no relationship. For me, that's huge. The Trinity exists, but there's no relationship with the Trinity. So once the child is baptized, and the Carmelite spirituality is very strong on this, we have some third-order Carmelites. They insist upon what is called the indwelling, right? Right, Liz? The indwelling of the Blessed Trinity through grace. So when you're baptized, you become a daughter of God the Father, or a son of God the Father. Natural or adopted? What's that? Is that bad to be adopted? You're a second class citizen? No. No, there's only one natural son. Who's that? All of us. All of us are our sons or daughters through adoption, and that adoption process comes through baptism. What about your relationship to Jesus Christ? Many people say, Jesus is mi papacito. That's theologically erroneous. Jesus is not your father. Who is he? He's your savior, but also he's your older brother. So if someone asks you, do you have an older brother? I say yes. Michael Broom and Jesus Christ. Amen. I've got two older brothers. One that was created 62 years ago. Another one has always existed. How about the Holy Spirit? Tu amigo. He's your best friend. So if you really understand that you've got the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit within your soul through the grace of baptism, no reason why we should really experience loneliness, should we? People are lonely. Experience like a crushing loneliness, almost leading to despair, because they're not aware of that. So any moment of your life, when I'm teaching the spiritual exercises, I don't talk too much about this because I'm teaching Ignatian spirituality, which, I mean, it doesn't contradict Carmelite spirituality, but it's different. The Carmelite spirituality insists a lot upon being aware. If in the depths of your heart, you're in the state of grace, you've got the Father within you. You've got the Son within you. You've got the Holy Spirit within you. And you can enter into intimate dialogue with the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit in any moment. Any moment. And how ironic it is. God is not too busy for us, but we're too busy for God. Ironic, isn't it? Huh? God, you know, God's never too busy for us. Any second in your existence, when you want to talk to God, He's like this. You like this. We talk with people, and sometimes people are doing like this. But God never yawns when you're talking to Him. He never scratches His nose. No? He never looks at His watch. He's always keenly attentive to us whenever we open up our heart and talk to Him, either vocally or through the movement of our heart. Because you can talk with your heart without having to say words. That's called mystical prayer, the movement of the heart toward God. That's already prayer. So you are a living tabernacle of the Blessed Trinity. That's huge. So in your baptism day, you should think about that. And have reminders. Have reminders of the Blessed Trinity. What are some reminders? Every time you make the sign of the cross, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, what are you doing? You're calling to mind the fact that Christ died on the cross for us, but also you're calling to mind the reality of the Blessed Trinity and the reality of the Blessed Trinity within you. St. Teresa of Avila made this comment. One of the primary reasons why we commit sin is because we forget about the presence of God. We become oblivious to the presence of God. God always exists, but we become oblivious to his presence. I was reading some of the Fulton Sheen quotes. I love Fulton Sheen. And he says this: people that worry become temporary atheists. And I stopped and had to think about that. I never thought about that. Have you ever worried? Welcome to the Temporary Atheist Club of St. Peter Chanel. And if you think about that theologically, Fulton Sheen is right. Because we're worrying. We're doubting God's presence. We're doubting His providential care. So I think Fulton Sheen, I don't think he was telling a lie. He wasn't telling a lie. He was saying that we should trust God. And when you get married, you say promise to be faithful in good times and bad, right? Health and sickness. Riches and poverty. You promise faithfulness to your spouse, right? You promise trust. You can trust your spouse. Can't you trust God? Hello? We should trust God even more. Because we're not always faithful. But God is always faithful. He's the essence of faithfulness. So make the sign of the cross. and call to mind your great dignity. Some of you have done the Litters of the Hours, the second reading for Christmas, Leo the Great. Christians, recognize your dignity. So through baptism, you have become a son or daughter of God, a brother and sister to Jesus Christ, a deep friend with the Holy Spirit, and a living tabernacle of the Blessed Trinity. How thankful we should have for the baptism of Jesus Christ and our own baptisms. Amen.